Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Real good.
It's good to be back here with you again on Sunday
evening.
It is.
After all the holiday hoopla, we're back. We're back to normal.
We'd like
to wish everyone a happy new year from Gift of Grace Ministries, even though I think we already did that last week, but that's okay. Yeah. We're still only 1 week and a couple days into the new year.
Good to be friendly.
Yeah, it's good.
That's our motto here at Gift of Grace. Be friendly.
Yeah. And now that everyone's recovering from the 12 days of Christmas, and because, of course, Christmas actually ended January 6th with the Epiphany in the Western calendar.
It's true.
And to our Orthodox Christian brothers and sisters, they just had Christmas a few days ago January 7th.
Actually, the Christmas season goes to the feast of the baptism of the Lord.
Does it really?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. See, that's a liturgical fact.
I got a bone up
on
that.
You got to be a musician to know that.
I got a bone up on that. Yeah, but to our Orthodox brothers and sisters, too, we say a little belated Merry Christmas.
That's true. Very true.
And since I found out I have some Armenian DNA.
You do?
Yes. I'm thinking maybe next year I'll go to the Armenian church on Richmond Road for Christmas services.
There you go.
And I'll walk in and say, "My people, I'm here." And they'll say, "Who are you?"
Precisely.
But anyway, so here we are, ready to start sort of a new year of teaching. And I think since we just had the program about Messiah being born, the Nativity of the Lord, and we talked about the Magi coming last week for the Epiphany, which was, you know, Epiphany comes from the Greek word for manifestation, and it's the manifestation to the Gentiles, who the Magi were, of course, Gentiles. Mm-hmm. And we don't know exactly when that happened, as we said last week, but one thing for sure is Jesus was very young when it happened. Very little when it happened.
Yes.
Was a baby. Mm-hmm. And he got the gifts, and Mary and Joseph weren't really sure what all of this meant and what was going to happen. But the one thing for sure about Mary and Joseph was that they were going to be faithful to God's law.
Right.
And we know that Jesus, Yeshua, as Messiah, was going to be faithful to God's law.
Right.
And we know also that Yeshua, as the second person of the Trinity, was on Mount Sinai giving that law to Moses and was in the Shekinah glory that led the people through the wilderness. And of course, God is Trinity and not separate beings. So Yeshua was, of course, involved in all these things. And now here he is in the world in space and time as a little baby, mm-hmm. lying on a bunch of straw.
Yep.
There's a great line in one of the Chris Tomlin Christmas stories about how, you know, he who put the stars in order is laying in a manger. I mean, that's not exactly how it goes, but that's kind of, you get the general idea.
Yeah.
How the Creator who made all things and all things were made by him and through him and for him is a little baby lying in a pile of straw.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. And we commonly on our show quote from 1 Colossians about how the fullness of the Godhead dwelled in him. Mm-hmm. But because Jesus Yeshua gave the law to Moses as God, he now also subjects himself to the law.
Yep.
So he subjects himself to the covenant that he gave to Moses.
Yes. Well, and I'm going to say, as you're saying that, what really comes to me is that, you know, Jesus, when he's preaching to his disciples and that, tells them that love fulfills the law.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that God is love and that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So for Jesus, Jesus is love. So he is the fulfillment of the law because against, you know, if you operate in love, there is no, you're not transgressing the law.
There's no law against
love. There's no law against it. So, this little baby who comes into the world to save all of mankind from their sins, is pure love.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to lay his life down out of that love.
Yeah.
For us.
Yeah.
So that when he's lying in that manger, you know, and it is kind of, it's, I don't know if we can really fully understand it, that God in his fullness comes as a child, helpless as an infant, and subjects himself to being raised as a human being.
Mm-hmm.
I shouldn't say subject, but he, you know, the reality is he has to be raised by parents.
Yes.
He's cared for his nutrition, for his mm-hmm. growing up. It's really quite mm-hmm. astounding that mm-hmm. how all of that takes place.
Yeah. As we said before, Jesus, a second person of the Trinity, could have made for himself a 30-year-old body and just come to earth.
Yep.
And could have just
Here
shown
I am.
Up.
Here I
and,
am.
Yeah. But no, he actually has physical heredity. Starting, let's say, with Abraham mm-hmm. and going down through the line.
Right.
And he's born of a woman, born under the law, as Paul says. And we're going to talk about two things that have to do with the law in a minute. But he subjects himself to that law in a completely physical way.
Yes.
And if we, let's have Stephen go to Luke chapter 2. You read verse 21 first.
Just 21?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, for starters.
Okay. When 8 days were completed for his circumcision, he was named Jesus, the name given him by the angel before he was conceived in the womb.
So on the eighth day, he's circumcised. The law of Moses says, on the eighth day, a boy is circumcised and named. So this is why when... This is why in back in 1 Samuel, or I'm sorry, 2 Samuel, when David's son with Bathsheba dies 1 week, just shy of a week before he's born, they don't give this baby a name because he's a boy. He's not going to be named till the next day.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't know what this boy's name was. He didn't have a name.
Yeah.
But the law said on the eighth day. Now, it would have never crossed Joseph and Mary's mind to say, well, you know, tomorrow's the eighth day, but we don't feel like doing it tomorrow. Why don't we do it next week instead?
Right.
Or, you know, day after tomorrow works out better for our schedule. So we'll just do it like day after tomorrow.
It did?
No.
Oh, no.
Eighth day, that baby boy is circumcised.
And go to the temple.
He's the Messiah. He's the God-man. But the law's fulfilled. The sign of the covenant is given.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody comes and circumcises a real flesh and blood baby boy.
Yeah.
Not a shadow, not a cosmic projection, not some kind of an illusion.
Yeah.
This is a real body. He has the likeness. It's real flesh. And as Paul says in Romans 8, he had the likeness of sinful flesh
mm-hmm.
without the sin, but
right.
he had the real flesh.
Right.
And, you know, he didn't have to do it. As Gabriel might have told Mary, well, you know, you don't have to do all that other stuff because he's going to be the Son of God. So, you know, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
No, he does it.
Yeah.
Baby Jesus, as divine Jesus, could have said, you know what? We don't have to bother with this because I'm the Messiah. No, it's like he subjects himself to the covenant and becomes a servant to the covenant that he gave.
Yeah.
And he takes on the law.
Yeah. And you know, being circumcised is a sign of the covenant, as you said, but also that covenant represents life with God.
Yeah.
You know, to be in the covenant meant that you shared in the promise that God gave to Abraham.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That he would multiply his descendants like the sands on the shore of the ocean. You know, and that there would be life. And to be outside of that covenant meant that you did not have fellowship with God.
That's right.
And the law was there, obviously, to keep them in that right relationship with God so that they would have fellowship with God.
That's right. And even though he was Son with a capital S, he took on the sign of the covenant, and he takes that on really for our sake, because he has to live the perfect life in order to be Messiah.
Yeah.
He has to be the perfect man along with being God.
Mm-hmm.
And so he has to do the law.
What's interesting is in the, you know, we're speaking about the covenant with Abraham and the circumcision on the eighth day being presented into the temple and entering into that covenant with God.
Mm-hmm.
And as you said, Mary and Joseph would have not even, it wouldn't even cross their mind not to do this,
right,
or to do it a day early or a day late or any other time. Eighth day, that was it. You did it.
That's right.
Because they knew that this was, they were participating and cooperating with God's grace with the covenant that God established.
That's right.
And if you look at our culture today, how many people will tell you, well, I'll let my child decide for themselves?
Yeah.
You know, is the gift that God gives of eternal life important enough that you want to share it with your children? Or is it kind of like, well, you know, it's okay, but hey, if they find something better, you know, that's okay too. It's not okay. It's, you know, we've lost that whole sense of the fulfillment of God's covenant. Jesus fulfills it, obviously, the new covenant. He ratifies it in his own blood. But being brought into the kingdom as adopted sons and daughters is still very, very important.
Yeah. He shows the importance of covenant.
Yeah.
You know, God is a God of covenants.
Yeah.
You know, and we need to do a series about covenants. We've been talking about that for two years.
I'll bring it up at the next board meeting.
Yeah. Let's have the board meeting right after the show.
Okay.
But, you know, God makes various covenants. I mean, the two main covenants are the old covenant, the new covenant.
Right.
And there's a lot of other covenants in between. But a covenant is much different than a contract.
Much different.
It's, you know, if somebody comes to your house and says, you need this new board on your roof, and it's going to cost $400, sign here. When the work is done, you give the guy $400, and your contract is fulfilled.
Right.
Everybody's happy. A covenant is not that. This is an intimate agreement. I mean, marriage is the closest thing in humanity that you have with a covenant.
Yeah.
And this is why the marriage paradigm is commonly used in the Bible.
Yeah.
Heaven is the marriage supper of the Lamb. The church is the bride of Christ. It's an intimate union,
right,
an intimate relationship. And so Jesus, Yeshua, enters into the covenant.
Right.
Because it's, number one, his people.
Right.
But he's also the giver of the covenant.
Exactly. And as you said, you know, a contract is an exchange of goods and services between people. But a covenant is an exchange of persons.
Mm-hmm.
Because what does God do for us through Jesus? Jesus takes our place and ultimately receives the punishment that we rightly would deserve for being disobedient and sinful. He receives that punishment when we don't.
That's right.
That's the ultimate portion of the covenant that our culture has lost throughout the years.
And that's the basis of the gospel.
Yeah.
That's the kerygma.
Mm-hmm.
He came to save us.
Right.
He came to tell us to be good. He came to tell us to help others. He came to tell us how to live a moral life. All those things are true. But he also came to be sacrificed, to establish the blood covenant.
Mm-hmm.
The old covenant, Moses was the mediator. It was sealed in the blood of animals. Like the writer to the Hebrews says, the blood of bulls and goats can't really take away sin.
Mm-hmm.
The new covenant, he is the mediator, but it's also sealed in his blood because he's the high priest eternally, as it says in the book of Hebrews, which is my favorite book. And he's also the eternal sacrifice.
Right. Right.
So the blood of bulls and goats doesn't really take away sin. It was a prefigurement.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can kill all the bulls you want, but it's not going to really take away your sin.
Right.
Compared to his blood,
right,
which does take away your sin and is the basis of salvation.
Right.
And all these things, if you ever take my Torah class, which soon I'm going to be putting online, probably over the next like 3 years, but I'm going to put part one on, I think, this weekend, next weekend.
We're going to have to get the staff on that at Gift of Grace.
Yeah, we're going to get it. I got to edit all that. But anyway, the other, and so covenant is so important of a concept that he enters into the covenant willingly.
To fulfill it.
Yes, yeah. To fulfill it. And later on, when it's one of the feast days that he has to go to Jerusalem, he goes to Jerusalem.
Right.
Because he fulfills the covenant.
Right.
It wouldn't dawn on him to say, well, you know.
Do we have to go back?
I'm tired of going up there. And the other thing that's important here is, as it says in that passage that you just read, he's officially given his name.
Yeah.
He's officially given his name. And his name, Yeshua, means salvation. And it says this was the name given by Gabriel before he was conceived.
Yep.
Gabriel came and said, you're going to name him Yeshua. He's going to deliver his people from their sins. And Yeshua means salvation.
Yeah.
And before that, Isaiah, who is my favorite major prophet, said, the virgin is going to conceive and bear a son, and they're going to name him Emmanuel,
God
with us.
Yeah.
So here is the God-man, the Messiah, whose name means salvation. Gabriel didn't say you're going to name him Yeshua because I like that name, or God kind of likes that name, or it was Abraham's favorite name. He names him Salvation because that's what he does.
He didn't go through the baby list of boys' names and said, I like this one.
That's
here.
My favorite.
That's my favorite one.
Yeah.
No?
So here you have Emmanuel and Yeshua. So salvation is dwelling with us.
Yeah.
And John chapter 1 says the word became flesh and dwelt among us, pitched his tent with us, moved in next door and walked around with us,
yeah.
Went to Denny's and Starbucks with us.
Yeah.
Went to the normal synagogue social life of the community.
Mm-hmm.
The Messiah, the God-man, is involved in that in a very, very real way on a very intimate human level.
Exactly.
And so I think this is the big lesson from that little short passage where people realize Jesus was circumcised on the eighth day because, that's what Jews do. But there's really a lot of...
There's a whole lot more.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of powerful stuff
that
is the basis of this.
Yeah, there's a whole lot more to it. And really, I mean, that's really one of the reasons why we do the show is to unfold some of that and help people understand.
Woo! That's what I do.
That is what you do.
Yeah, so, wow.
I just sit here and sing songs every once in a while. Like this one.
Oh, I love this song. First break already. Good. This break came at a good time. Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
Spirit of the Sovereign Lord, come and make Listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. So now, speaking of the covenant, we're going to move down to the next verse, Luke chapter 2, and we're going to have Stephen read verses 22 to 38, so you can read along with him. Go.
Ready? When the days were completed for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they took him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, just as it is written in the law of the Lord. Every male that opens the womb shall be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer the sacrifice of a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons in accordance with the dictate in the law of the Lord.
Hmm. That's pretty cool.
That is.
So, according to the law of Moses, now see, Dr. Luke puts that in. Circumcision according to the law, presentation according to the law. When the womb is opened, that child is dedicated to the Lord, set aside for the Lord, called holy to the Lord, and is presented in the temple. Now, as time went on and other traditions and things were added, a male child, according to the law, the real law, which you can read about in actually Exodus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Oh, and Leviticus. the actual real law says that when it's a boy, he's presented at 40 days. Mm-hmm. When it's a girl, she's presented at 66 days. I don't know why the difference, and I can't explain it. And God is sovereign. He can make it as many days as he wants for whatever.
Good point.
But here we have this couple with this baby, and again, it's not going to even cross their mind to say, you know, day 40 is coming up.
We're too busy.
We're supposed to do it, but you know,
a soccer match.
Yeah, I got a meeting that day, and my calendar is pretty full until next week. So why don't we, you know, call the temple and say we're coming in a week from tomorrow? No, day 40, they're there. Now, they've subjected him, and he has willingly subjected himself to another part of the covenant. He's presented to the Lord, dedicated to the Lord. He is the Lord, all capital letters, but he's following the covenant. And then a sacrifice is done. Originally, it was a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. As time went on, if you could afford it, they did a yearling lamb, which was a much more expensive sacrifice for a variety of reasons. So Mary and Joseph did the turtle doves. So they're poor people. They couldn't do a lamb.
Right.
So they did the poor people sacrifice. So most people think they didn't have the Magi's gold yet. Because had Joseph shown up there with all that gold, he could have bought himself a nice lamb. But they do the poor people sacrifice.
Well, you bring up a good point, because if you look at the scriptures and you read through them, you know, the only accounts of this are in Matthew and Luke. And obviously in the law, on the eighth day, the male was to be circumcised. On the 40th day was the presentation in the temple. Mm-hmm. So if that's the case, and then when the wise men come into Jerusalem and they ask, you know, we're here to see the newborn king of the Jews. Where is he at? And everybody goes, what's going on?
Yeah. Who?
Well, we saw a star and it's rising, and we've come to do him homage. Mm-hmm. How long have you been traveling? Well, Herod, as we're going to get to, orders that all infants, male, 2 years and under, are put to death. So that tells us that most likely the wise men were traveling for close to 2 years. So they wouldn't have gotten there probably close to that 2 year period. So, all of the presentation of the temple, the circumcision, that all takes place right after Jesus' birth, obviously.
Yeah. And interestingly too, I forgot to mention one thing about the firstborn. And if you ever have a chance to go to a Messianic Seder this coming Passover, you should go.
Are you doing any?
Yeah, I'm doing I usually do 6 or 7 of them.
Phil's taking requests now.
I can't invite you all to the one at my house, but if you want to do one at your church, let us know. But
your house gets pretty full this
time of year. Oh my gosh, yeah. There's not even any room to walk around. But interestingly, when the firstborn is dedicated to the Lord and called holy to the Lord, keep in mind that the firstborn of the Egyptians was slain. So when the people were delivered sovereignly by God's strong right arm, the firstborn of the Israelites is dedicated to him. The firstborn of the Egyptians was killed. So we have to keep that in mind. And also, you know, he says to the tribe of Levi, when you guys get to the land, you guys don't get any land because I'm your inheritance.
Yeah.
You don't need land.
Mm-hmm.
Most people today don't think like that. But anyway, so interestingly, at this presentation, and we don't know exactly what the ceremony was, but one thing we know for sure, somebody in the temple presented baby Jesus to God. So when you think about it, that's pretty mind-boggling, because you have he comes from God. He comes, you know, very God from very God, as the old creed used to say.
Right.
True God from true God. He comes from the Father, and now a human priest presents him to the Father.
Yeah.
Which is kind of neat.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the mediator of everything, is the new covenant that's going to come. But he's presented to God by a human priest. So again, humanity's involved in it, because now the second person of the Trinity also has human flesh, also has human bodily function. He's a real human being.
Mm-hmm.
So he's presented to God where he just came from in his divinity by a human priest.
Yeah.
So he not only fulfills the covenant according to the law, but he also kind of starts his new covenant into motion, because he's presented as holy to the Lord.
Yeah.
And, you know, we see this happen. He certainly is not the only baby boy who's ever presented. There were millions of them over the course of time. We know about little Samuel. You know, little Samuel's presented, and he stays. This is in 1 Samuel. And he stays in the tent. There wasn't a temple yet. He stays in the tent with the high priest. Jesus doesn't stay there, interestingly. He's presented, and then he goes back with his parents, his mother and foster father, or whatever you want to call him. But in Leviticus 12, 6 to 8, it talks about when you do this, you have to make a sacrifice. Mm-hmm. And it's supposed to be a lamb. But if you can't afford a lamb, you do 2 turtle doves or 2 pigeons. And the other thing it tells you is that the woman is unclean until then. 40 days for a boy, 66 days for a girl.
Mm-hmm.
So according to the law, Mary would have been ritualistically unclean until that day.
So she couldn't have gone to the temple.
Couldn't have gone to the temple, couldn't have taken part in the sacrifices, couldn't really have done anything. And so when you go there on the 40th day, you have to get into the mikveh bath, which symbolizes the water cleansing you from the childbirth. Because God's law says anytime you have a discharge from your body, you're unclean. And that applies to normal things too, like the menstrual cycle, the discharges that come on after childbirth, and also to abnormal things. I mean, if you have a boil on your skin that's draining pus, you can't go to the temple. It's very clearly spelled out in the Torah, if you want to take my Torah class. But Mary would have gone into the mikveh bath would have come out, would have put on new clothes, and then she was ritualistically clean again. Mm-hmm. And then they went in to do the presentation thing.
Then something very interesting happens as soon as they get there.
Yeah.
Shall I read?
Yeah, please.
Okay. So this is from Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 22. When the days were completed for their purification according to the law of Moses, they took him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, just as it is written in the law of the Lord. Every male that opens the womb shall be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer the sacrifice of a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons in accordance with the dictate in the law of the Lord. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, awaiting the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Messiah of the Lord. He came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to perform the custom of the law in regard to him, he took him into his arms and blessed God, saying, "Now, Master, you may let your servant go in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared in sight of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and glory for the people Israel."
Whew. That's my favorite part.
It is.
But before we get to that.
You bring your baby into the temple, yeah, and all of a sudden this old guy picks him up out of your arms, yeah, and says this.
And you go, "Dude, who are you? why is that old guy holding the baby?" Did he wash his hands first?
Oh, boy.
So, interesting story here. You know, Jesus is born in a very humble place. Mm-hmm. He lives in a very humble place.
Yeah.
Although there's angels singing when he's born. Other than that, everything's pretty humble. Now he goes in to be presented. Now this will be 32 days after he was circumcised. He goes into the temple. Nobody knows who he is. Nobody knows who Mary and Joseph are. They're just like ordinary people with a baby. And two people, we won't get into Anna too much because I love the Simeon thing, so we're going to concentrate on that. But Simeon and the prophetess Anna, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, are there. They see the baby. They take the baby. They give the baby praise and glory. This is a 40-day-old baby boy. Which is pretty amazing. They see a 40-day-old baby boy, and they take him, and they praise him, and they give thanks to God that they've seen him. And they say, "Well, we can die now, because now we're okay. You know, we've seen the consolation of Israel."
Yeah.
The consolation of Israel.
Yeah. And, you know, Simeon, and I probably should have read the next two verses, but Simeon says, "The child's father and mother were amazed at what was said about him, and Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, 'Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be contradicted, and you yourself a sword will pierce, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed.'"
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Simeon
something
was told.
That didn't happen every time a child was brought into the temple.
That's right. That's right. And Simeon waited for the consolation of Israel. You know, Jesus as Messiah is the consolation of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Is the consolation of all of us, the Gentile world too.
Yep.
They didn't realize that then because they hadn't really studied Isaiah thoroughly. Had they studied Isaiah thoroughly?
Very true.
But anyway,
they needed to be up on their major prophets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so they're both old. Simeon's old. Anna's really old.
Mm-hmm.
And Simeon's old, and he knows the time is near. He knows Messiah is going to come before he dies. It mm-hmm. says the Holy Spirit's told him this.
Yeah.
So he knows this. So I like to think, you know, he was at Starbucks at the base of the Temple Mount or something, and the Holy Spirit said to him, "You better get up to the temple right away. They're coming in the door.
Hurry up. Let's go."
And he went tearing up the steps. But no, he probably was there praying all the time.
I mean, but that is really interesting because it says that the Spirit – he came in the Spirit into the temple. You know, so the Holy Spirit revealed to him, and it says it has been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see the death of Messiah, of the Lord, until, you know. So the Spirit prompts him to go to the temple on this day
mm-hmm.
and to be there because there's a divine, there's an a divine appointment.
Yeah, and he doesn't even know who he's looking for.
Right.
I mean, it could have been some other little boy walking by. He didn't know it was necessarily going to be a baby.
I'm sure Mary and Joseph weren't the only parents bringing their child into the temple this day.
That's right. He had no idea who Mary and Joseph were. He had no idea what he was actually looking for. But when he sees the baby, then he knows.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes the Holy Spirit works on you like that. You see something, and then you know that's for you.
Right.
Or some circumstance happens where you say, that's where I'm supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. And that's really what, you know, that's the way the Holy Spirit operates, is that there's promptings that mm-hmm. God gives us through the Spirit that we need to listen to mm-hmm. as we serve God, as we follow, you know, the path that God's made for us.
Yeah.
So that we are at the place where God wants us or where God needs us, because he has a plan, and he has a plan for each one of us.
Yeah. The Spirit speaks to him. He's filled with the Spirit. He has this spirit of prophecy that then he starts to praise. He does this amazing prophecy, and he knows he's led to the temple at exactly the right spot at exactly the right time. The temple's big. You know, this isn't like walking into your little church. This is a big area.
Mm-hmm.
It's acres and acres, but he's right at the spot that he's supposed to be. And he can't wait to hold this baby. Like you said, he takes him right out of Mary's arms and he's holding the baby. So you can imagine Mary and Joseph looking at each other going, what's this guy doing?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden he starts doing this praise thing.
Yeah.
I mean, they've already had a lot of stuff happen to him. I mean, Mary's already had a whole lot of things to think about.
Yeah, when Gabriel visits you, tells you're going to have birth, that's a pretty big thing. It might not have been that.
Yeah.
You know, but that's it still would be out of the ordinary of what would take place normally when the parents come in and bring their child into the temple.
Yeah. And he can say now, and he doesn't just react by saying, oh, I've seen the Messiah. This is great. I'm glad I got to experience this. Now I'm going to go back down and finish my coffee. He says, now I can die because there's nothing else I need to do.
Now, contrast this to last week. We talked about the wise men coming to pay homage to Jesus.
Yeah.
They're there to see the newborn King of the Jews. They're excited about this. They've traveled for a long time to see him.
Mm-hmm.
And by this time, everybody's like, okay, we don't know what you're talking about, but we'll look it up. We'll, you know, get the scrolls out. We'll
bring it back to you.
Simeon is excited about this.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
overjoyed about this. Mm-hmm. You know, he's ecstatic about this.
Mm-hmm.
So contrast that with how they reacted when the wise men came in looking for the Christ child.
Mm-hmm.
Where's he at? We're here to pay him homage. Well, let's get back to you on that. We gotta check some things out, because we're really not, you know, there's no fanfare going on here. We're just, you know, going about our day-to-day stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So here's a contrast there.
He's so excited that he doesn't care then if he dies.
Yeah.
I mean, his whole life now is complete.
Yeah. Fulfillment.
Ooh, this is good too. Oh, this is good. This kind of fits right in.
Oh, it does.
That's why you're the music minister. Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
I enter to worship you only. I enter to honor I am. Lord, I worship. I worship you. I enter through the blood of the Lamb. I enter to worship you only. I enter to honor I am. Lord, I worship you. I worship you. Lord, I worship you. I worship you. For your name is
listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. We got two important things to do, and the time is ticking down for this show.
Go.
First is from the prophet Malachi, who is, of course, the last prophet in the Old Testament, the last book of the Old Testament. 400 years in some B.C., there hasn't been any prophet since Malachi, other than, of course, John the Baptist, as we've discussed.
But right.
We're not going to go into that again. Malachi had a much better diet. Anyway, but in Malachi chapter 3, there's an amazing thing that has to do with this. Keep in mind, this is the first time Jesus went to the temple.
Yeah.
He's going to go to the temple three times a year minimum through all of his life. And then, of course, at the end, he's there.
Right.
But let's have, why don't you go ahead and read the beginning of chapter 3 of Malachi. You can flip to it. It's the last book of the Old Testament.
Okay. Now I am sending my messenger. He will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will come suddenly to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire. See, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts.
Woo!
Wow.
Now, how does that apply? Isn't that cool how that applies to just what we were talking about, Simeon?
He comes suddenly into the temple.
The Lord you seek is going to suddenly come to the temple. All of a sudden, here he is.
Yeah.
It's day 40. He's a 40-day-old baby boy. And all of a sudden, the Lord you seek. Now, they've been waiting for Messiah since Genesis 3:15.
Yeah.
They've been waiting for Messiah for all this time. Then he's suddenly going to come to the temple. And he's going to be the messenger of the covenant.
Yeah.
Now, they already had a covenant. right? Malachi knows the covenant.
Mm-hmm.
Malachi's living under the Mosaic law. He knows the covenant of the law. He knows that the law was given to Moses on Mount Sinai. But now he says, this Lord that you seek who suddenly comes to the temple is the messenger of the covenant. He's coming. Behold, he's coming. I mean, this is like an exciting announcement, and it's also a prefigurement that another covenant is coming. Because, first of all, Moses was the messenger of the covenant. Now, this one who suddenly comes to the temple is the messenger of a covenant.
Mm-hmm.
Woo! Yeah. So Simeon probably knows that passage because he's probably gone to Bible studies, and he's probably been to home groups and prayer groups where they've talked about this. He's probably thinking about this verse in his head.
Yeah.
He's ready to die. You know, Moses wanted to live longer. Moses wanted to go into the land. God says, you're going to see the land and die. Moses says, oh, no. I want to go into the land.
Yeah.
This one, Simeon, he's perfectly satisfied. He says, I can die right now.
I've seen
and
the
I'm
salvation.
Cool.
Yeah. I've seen your salvation, Lord. I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Woo.
He's not, you know, he doesn't say, gosh, I wish I can stick around a little bit longer and see what happens as he grows up or anything.
Yeah.
He's seen the salvation of Israel, the glory of, you know, the light to the nations, the light to the Gentiles, yeah. And he's satisfied. He's fulfilled with his earthly life.
And that's the second part. Look what a cool thing he says. This baby, now he's holding a 40-day-old baby.
Mm-hmm.
Mary and Joseph presumably are standing there like bewildered at what's going on.
Probably to some extent.
To say the least.
Yeah.
Like, can I have my baby back? Mm-hmm. to all of a sudden now he says, this baby's the glory of Israel and a light to the Gentiles.
Yeah.
Now, light to the Gentiles. What's Gentiles have to do with what's going on in his temple? Nothing. Simeon is in the temple. He's a Jewish guy. He's okay. He says this baby's a light to the Gentiles. If he would have said that to one of the Levitical priests who was there, that guy would have turned to him and said, what are you talking about? This baby's
yeah.
going to have nothing to do with Gentiles.
Yeah.
Unless he gets in trouble with the Romans, he's not going to have anything to do with Gentiles.
Yep.
This is our temple.
Yeah.
But he says he's the glory of Israel. He's a light to the Gentiles. Just like Isaiah prophesied all the way through his book that the Gentiles were going to come. The Gentiles were going to come. The Gentiles were going to seek him. He was going to call to the Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
So the Gentiles were going to have all this light and knowledge, and it was going to have to do something to do with this baby.
Yeah. And as you've said before, that where Jesus went to live was the land of the...
Yeah, land of darkness and gloom.
Yeah, the Galilee of the Gentiles.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And he calls this baby the glory of Israel. I mean, what's the glory of Israel? They have the Torah. They have the prophets. They have the patriarchs. They were the only people that had the revelation of God.
They have the covenant.
They had all this covenant. They were the only covenant people. But now he says this baby's the glory of Israel.
Yeah. Because God chose the nation of it. Well, God chose the nation of Israel through the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to be his possession.
Yeah.
And to show the nations that the God that they worshiped was the one true God.
Yeah.
And that their wisdom and their knowledge that God bestowed upon them was to be a light to those people,
to
be a light to those who didn't have the covenant.
Yeah. And boy, was that fulfilled.
Yeah.
Look at the effect this baby had on the Gentiles, us.
Mm-hmm.
Our ancestors were a mess.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at the 2,000 years basically that have passed since this event took place, you know, the Gentiles who have been brought into the kingdom, how the gospel message has spread through
the Gentile lands.
Yeah, through the proclamation of the gospel.
And it's still spreading through the Gentile lands.
Yeah, it is.
And, you know, he's going to be responsible for the fall and the rise of many in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
The Pharisees were going to fall. The lowly Jewish people who were going to come to him and recognize him as Messiah were going to be raised up.
Yeah.
Things were going to be turned around. People are either going to be for him or against him.
Yeah.
He's going to be the dividing line. Like he says, I didn't come to the world to bring peace. I came to bring a division. Either you're for me or you're against me.
He does say that.
Yes. And everybody's life depends on that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, when you say that, I think of the book of Revelation where he says, mm-hmm. you know, I'd rather you be hot or cold instead of lukewarm,
yes.
because I just want to spit you out of my mouth.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't want us to be lukewarm. And our faith doesn't call us to be lukewarm.
That's right.
Our faith calls us to be impelled by the love of Christ to go out and proclaim the good news of the gospel.
Yeah. Either for him or against him. You know, for those of us that are with him, he's a sanctuary for mm-hmm. us. For those that are against him, he's a stumbling stone.
Yeah.
And that's also in the book of Isaiah, and it's also in the Psalms.
It's your favorite prophet.
Yes, it is. Favorite major one.
Major prophet.
Okay. Oh, the end of our show already.
Woo.
Well, anyway, I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we just pray that the coming of, as Jesus is brought into the temple and Simeon sees the light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory for the people of Israel, that you too would receive that child Jesus into your heart to be a light into your life and have relationship with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God bless everyone. Have a great week. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.